Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The reality of our fellowship with the Father. The reality of our fellowship with the Father.
John 1:1.
The reality of our fellowship with the Father. But even we're doing the realities of the man born again. Because God wills that all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Philippians 6, the communication of the faith is made effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus.
Every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. They are good things. Many good things in me in Christ Jesus.
Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our eyes have handled of the word of life.
This is John's witness. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto you.
Eternal life was with the Father, and was manifested unto you.
That which we have seen and heard and declare, that which you have seen and heard, declare we unto you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
The reality of our fellowship with the Father. So John is writing his epistle and he's saying they have handled, they have touched, they have experienced of the word of life. So John wants to make this word of life known so that their fellowship will be with them and that fellowship is with the Father. Now the word fellowship, the word fellowship implies a partnership. It implies a common identity. A common identity. So when we say fellowship with God, we are talking about a common identity with God. The Greek word there is the word koinonia, speaks of a common identity. We have a common identity with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is what John is saying, I write so that you may have this fellowship with the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, says this. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we are called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Remember, the word fellowship means what? Partnership, common identity. So when we say fellowship of His Son, it means that there is an identification with His Son. Are we together? There is a common identity with His Son. Now, the reality of the Trinity is this. Whereas you may have a distinction, you have no separation. Because you see the Father, you see the Son, you see the Spirit. Also. But they will also tell us we are one. I and my Father are. So that You do not create a separation, but we know we can have a distinction. Praise the Lord. Let me become clear in a moment. So, fellowship of his son means identification with his son. Now, in 1 John 1 2, you see the Father. The Father. Let's go back there a bit. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. So when you see Father, the implication is that there is a Father-Son relationship. Are we together? The word Father comes from the Greek word pater. P-A-T-E-R, or in the Hebrew you have Abba. Abba. Abba speaks of a source. It implies a source. It means where you come from. Are we together? Are we together? When we say Abba, the implication is where we come. So, when we say our fellowship, there is what? Something in common with the Father. But he is the Father because there is a relationship. Because we come from there. When you see, or when you say and refer to God as a Father, it implies that God is the source. Praise the God. The believer is from God. Remember the concept of being born what? Again. So again, you have a birth being put into the picture. A birth a different way. So that birth is from where? Who is the Father in that birth? God the Father. Amen. So the essence of Christianity is that the believer is from, or the believer is of God. He is our source, that's why he is our, we call him our Father. Amen. So, when the word fellowship comes into place, it means we have an identification. This is where the identification is coming from. Okay, let me use the natural relationship. Your parents, you come from your... Do you now? Why do you call them your father? Because you come from them. You carry their genetic composition. You are their seed. You are their offspring. You are theirs. You have something in common. That is the fellowship. The fellowship with the Father is not speaking about when you come to church. The fellowship with the Father is a reality you share by virtue of that. By virtue of identification. So I'm in fellowship. Amen. So that fellowship with the Father finds revelation in the Son. Or that fellowship, because what are we looking at? In fellowship, we are looking at the fatherhood of God. Is God your father? So, in fellowship, we are looking at the fatherhood of God. But the fatherhood of God is explained in the sonship of Christ. Amen.
What do I mean? God the Father is revealed in Christ the Son. Or the Father is known in Christ. To understand fellowship with the Father will be to understand Christ.
Hallelujah. Say hallelujah now.
You see, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, they referred to him as God, Yahweh. This was then. El Shaddai. Nisi. In the New Testament, we are introduced to the Father who is God. And it's not a coincidence.
Remember John chapter 4. That woman at the well
who had those husbands. You say that in this fountain we worship. What does Jesus say? Time is coming when neither in this mountain or in Jerusalem will you what? Worship the Father. She's talking about God. He's introducing a father relationship with God. So he's introducing a relationship with God as the Father. Not just as God. You may think it's a simple thing, but it's a very big deal that you know God as Father. It's a big deal. So he said, why? Remember, they are coming from living water. I will give you a water and you will never thirst again. This water shall be in you a well of living water springing up into what? Everlasting life. Eternal life. Life of the Spirit. That brings us to what? The true worship. In the true worship, God is Father. Explain this way.
Somewhere.
Hallelujah.
God is Father. And after his resurrection, he is referred to as Father.
So Jesus, being the revelation of the Father, you will be the Father. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. You know what is interesting? The context. What does Pastor Benjamin say? For the Lord. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's not a coincidence that in the next line it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, what has happened? He has declared it. He means, until this point, even Moses has not seen God. No one has seen God in the flesh. Don't tell me anymore. No one has seen God until Jesus. That word declare is exocrimat, right? It means a first hand witness. It means Jesus is going to explain God. Declare, that's the word declare him. It means God finds his explanation in Jesus Christ. Okay? God is identified, God is known, God is understood in Jesus Christ. When you say God, you may think, but God. Let me say, the Father is known in Jesus.
No one has seen the Father until Christ. So in Christ, we have the revelation of the Father. Christ is the explanation of the Father. Explanation with first hand experience. When he says he's in the bosom of the Father, it means in the same place. Speaks of an intimate together. John was in Jesus' bosom. Where Jesus was, John was. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, Luke 16. Where Lazarus was, Abraham was. There is no place where Abraham's bosom looks like a baby. And Lazarus and the rich man were inside. Nothing about it like that. So, to understand that fellowship, we'll understand the Son. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is God. Verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among the stars. We beheld His glory. Whose glory is that? The glory of God is Jesus Christ. Amen. John 1:29 says, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Absolute statements were used to refer to Jesus. He gives eternal life. John 3:16. He gives everlasting life. John 5:26. We have read this in the previous session. The one that is in him has life. There is no condemnation. He has life in himself, even as the Father has life in himself. What is saying? The life of the Father is in Jesus. Jesus is the life of the Father. So it is not a simple thing to not consider Jesus as God. It's a very important reality. So Jesus is God. Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, verse 1, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, who is the brightness of his glory, verse 3, the express image of his person. The revelation of the Father is Jesus. Jesus is the Father revealed. He is the absolute revelation of God. God is not known outside Jesus. Do you know what that means? That means God's will is also not known outside Jesus. If you want to know what God cannot do, look at what Jesus Christ did not do. What's the fertilizer? If you want to know God, Jesus. Peter and Ananias, if you want to know God, Jesus. And I told you this. What Jesus never did to his enemies, you have no right to put it wrong. Amen. And I told you have one enemy. That enemy is the devil. Hallelujah. So don't be obsessed very much by what your enemies are saying. Amen. You have no idea how many people's joy that takes away. They are talking about you.
They are just talking about you. It is worse if they are not talking about you. It means you are irrelevant. Don't go and say, if you don't love me, I don't love you. If you don't care, I don't care. Hey, hey, listen, how are you? No, no, no. There's no need for that.
Amen.
The born of love. Hallelujah.
So, in Jesus Christ, we will know the Father. Let's start with John chapter 14. Let's read some things. Verse 6. John 14, 6. Jesus said unto them, remember, absolute statements used of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Do you see what Jesus is trying to say? From henceforth, you have known him and have seen him. If you had known me, you had known my. From henceforth, you have known him and have seen him. What is he saying? The Father is here with you. I am he. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. Believest thou more that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak unto you are not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and what? And the Father is in the Father. The Father is in him. He is with the Father. That's our Jesus. In John chapter 20, when he resurrected and Mary, verse 17, called holy, says, hold on to me no longer. I have not yet ascended. Go to my brethren. What do you tell my brethren? Come on, I've broken them. Go to my brethren. Tell them what? I ascend. I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. In the resurrection, his Father becomes our Father. Do you know where his God was born? Because you are the next born. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm the next born. We have the same Father. Paul will call you a co-heir with Christ Jesus. You are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Why? Because you are both sons. Say, I am the son. So let's look at the sonship of a believer. Hallelujah. The sonship of the believer. You know, the strategies we are teaching is not, these are things that should never leave your lips and your heart. This should be ever present realities. Ever present. This should be your mindset as you pray. Your mindset as you praise God. Your mindset as you give. Your mindset as you reach out. This is your mindset. Hallelujah. So the Creator has introduced a relationship with him that just surpasses us being his creatures like everyone else on earth. We are in fellowship with him, in union with him. The relationship between God and believers can be seen as the Father and his family. The Father and his family. In Christ Jesus, we are in fellowship with him. Again, I know there's a mindset. What is the fellowship? We have something in common. We are in participation. We share something. We come from him. He is our Father. He is my Father.
My Father.
our Father. He's not just in heaven, He's with us. His kingdom is not just coming, the kingdom is here. We are born into that kingdom. We are born into that house. We are born of God. We are His. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I mean, are these fruits powerful? Or you want to hear, you are not a champion, you are a champion. You are right. You are right. You are right. You are right. I believe that growth. Believers do not grow on hype. I hope you know that. A believer does not grow on hype. He grows on the reality of the good things in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This is life.
Romans chapter 8, we read a bit here. For as many as are led, verse 14. By the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Remember what we discussed in the first session in Romans 8. So when you say the spirit of adoption, what spirit is that? Also the spirit of? What are the other two? The spirit of? Spirit of Christ and spirit of? Spirit of God, spirit of? Spirit of life, spirit of?
Hey. Hey.
How is that? The spirit of the spirit of the spirit of that spirit. That spirit. For as many as are born from the flesh into the spirit. So you have not received the spirit of fear. Spirit of bondage against fear. You have received a spirit of adoption. That's why adoption is a wonderful word. Euthanasia, it means to be placed as sons. Now, your natural adoption is, I mean, the child is not yours. You cannot have the child by one or two reasons. And then you adopt the child. That child is not your child. Someone else's child, but you have adopted. You are like a surrogate parent. The concept of adoption from the Roman understanding was that whoever was adopted, all their former background was erased. It became illegal to be referred to them by their former family, their former name, and their former identity. The process was so rigorous that it involved even going to court and all the former documents of that person in their former family were destroyed. And that person became now a child, the son of the family into which they have been adopted. And this is what happened. That thing was basically done by rich nobles who had no kids for the purpose of having heirs. It was for inheritance. So you're going to find that when Paul is here in Romans, he's going to bring inheritance. Amen. So what does he say? You've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Now look at verse 18. Sorry, 16. The Spirit also bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17. And if children, then and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So the concept of adoption is about inheritance. Someone becoming a son for the purpose of becoming an heir.
Now, inheritance is not something which is carnal. Inheritance is something wild. The inheritance of God, the child of God already has. It's not in the future. Okay, I am an heir of God. That doesn't mean, that does not mean that one day when God dies, I will have children. No, we are heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. I am adopted. I have now been placed as a son. Joint. Amen. So you can use sons because God is not gender sensitive. We are sons because of that concept of adoption. We are now children of God.
So when you say, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God.
So you're going to sing it with understanding. It's not like God is never saying, but you're all my children. I created all of you. We don't know that we're all God's children. Every one of us, we are God's children. No! There is a fellowship which the one who has not believed doesn't have. There is a participation which they do not have. There is a communion which they do not share. That thing is called the Spirit of God. It's not everyone. We're not all children of God. Amen. Is the children of God? No. Everyone is not a children of God. God knows those that are his. Ever read that verse? He knows those who are you his?
Amen.
So we have been blessed in the position of a son. Ah, the Spirit of adoption. How do you know why God calls you his? Every reality of God can be summarized in this one. The Spirit of God in you. That Spirit makes you his. You are not your own. You are now a child of God. You have been adopted. You have not been adopted and you're like those kids, the rich start in, they start looking for their parents. No, your own don't exist anymore. I speak spiritually now. Your former spiritual parent is the devil. I hope you know that. That's your former spiritual parent. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I always remind you, the spirit that works in the kingdom of disobedience. That one, their father. You are of your father, the devil, John 8:24. And the last of your father, you what? It's the lie from the beginning. There's no truth in him. They had not believed. They were not doing the. They were not shaking his ass. No! They had not believed the gospel. And then one day I'll teach about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not someone with horns. He's not a pope. Let me tell you. The fact that you believed that is proof that the Antichrist is there. If you believe the Antichrist is Obama, he's going to come with numbers 666. Which numbers you cannot take away? You see, even a tattoo can be replaced. Is not wearing black. He says, you know why it's very wrong now to try to understand God from dramas and movies? The first devil you saw was wearing black. Eh? And he followed you in a dream. Am I right?
Hallelujah.
But we have something in common with the Father. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Ephesians chapter 2. Praise the God. Ephesians chapter 2.
Are we there? Verse 16.
And that he may reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and them and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. We are the household of God. Say, I'm of the household of God. The Spirit of God is our brother. That is why we are more related than our natural relatives. If you haven't done that yet, soon you will. The believers are more family. What do I mean? Because we have an eternal joining. We have a spiritual joining.
You may not share with our siblings. If you're here and your siblings are not born again, they are of their father. You are not one like that. So when we say brother, soul, this is what it means. We're not saying brother, soul, but so that you may not connect. No, he's my brother. He's my brother. All those other guys, you can call them Shura, Rat, but this is brother, soul. That is the name of our identification. That is the name from our family. That is the name of honor. Hallelujah. Everybody else calls you Ronnie. Everybody else calls you Peter. Everybody else calls you James. When you come to church, they say, Brother James. It feels like you're being enthroned. Your truest position in the family of God. So it's not just an old-fashioned way. It's like when you say, Pastor Godwin. What is it? Pastor Godwin. The mother may say one name. The wife may say, boo. That is not our boo. When you come and say, Pastor, you are identified. Our God identifies. This is why we set up this thing. It's also unlikely that when you are home and calling you, in your mind you're thinking about his ministry. It is not likely, right? It's not likely, right? I know this thing is still catching along because you know some of us were being used to. Sorry, but sometimes it's fine, honestly. But we'll get this through. You know, when you come like to church, they say maybe Pastor Victor and Sister Patricia are both in the worship team. Now, then Pastor Victor says, my wife in the worship team. And he's trying to communicate and he's saying, my wife will lead the soul. Now that communication is for both. Because she's not our wife. Okay? If we want to call you man of God in reported speech, shall we not also say, Pastor Peter's wife? Oh, your wife.
Imagine someone come and tell you, your wife is going to leave. Okay.
Wife is not our identity in Christ. Have you heard?
I need to go to the street, but we need to learn. This is church manners. Wife is not what? An identity in church. Wife is an identity of 14 people. That's what we're saying. But, like I told you again, because we're just learning this, we are still patient, we're not really. But that's why we use some of those things we use. We say, Pastor Godwin. If I met Pastor Godwin, it's going to be very hard for me to gossip about him at home. You know? I'm thinking, Pastor. Amen. So there are things we share with this family. We share those things by virtue of the indwelling of the Spirit of God in us. We are sons of God. There's a message I want to teach. It's called seeing every believer in Christ. If you start to see everyone like that, it changes your approach to them, changes the way you relate with them. This is my brand. You know that thing takes away the class system from church. It takes away the peer groups. So now when I come to relate with him, I'm not coming to relate with the coach. I'm coming to relate with my brother. I say, if I say brother Ronnie, not the other one, this one, brother Ronnie. I don't know why. Even our conversations will be shared. I'll use an example. He's my very good friend for a very long time. He knows that the group we are on is only sports and goofiness. And I actually appreciate, I don't even know how you learned this, but, and I don't have in mind, he would come to me and say, I want to learn. Now this man, we are playing basketball together. One time, he fouled me so hard, I just got up and looked at him. He was frustrated. But that was basketball. When we were playing basketball, I have four. You know? So, but when he comes, like, that Sunday is not at church. He'll tell me, Musumba, I am not available. Again. Then, one time he'll come into my inbox and we are laughing about something and is now relating with his friend. You get the difference. You know that thing is not supposed to be hard, but it's hard for you. Now, when it comes to church, I can tell you, see, we have played together. Well, yeah, I mean, a different high school, right? Most of us in a different school, as a different school, but we competed. So, but if now for him to receive maximum from me here, he knows he has to come and approach me from my office. Sometimes it can be hard. People, you know, if you are friends with a man of God, you know how hard it is. For them to teach you. I'm going to grab you. Over here, do you know why? I'll teach you a kid. How you approach us is what we continue with. This guy would come and we chat. But then one day he came and said, I just want to know about A, B, C, D, and the conversation statement. So even you, I mean people who have husbands and their pastors, if you have your brother and he's a minister, you must learn this thing. Otherwise you just say we are raised together. Amen. Let me tell you, it is very, very crucial. Jesus' brothers, they came last. You know why? Do you know why when we were going, the 12 we did start in his own house to pick disciples? Think about it.
He had brothers.
Amen. So we are there of the household of God, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, when he says the family in heaven and earth, he's not talking about some family members in heaven. Okay, we can't say there are some family members in heaven and there are some family members in earth. But you who is family on earth are also family in heaven. You know what that means? We are seated in heavenly places. So, the whole family of God, us here, we are named in that family. He is our Father. Galatians chapter 6, 10. He says, do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. The household of faith. So we are family. We are family. The people I love most are church people. There is something we share in this fellowship. Why is this important? If you regard a believer as family, you know you're going to honor them. Now, some of you honor your natural family, right? It is good. You love your brother. I love my natural brother as well. You respect family things. Some of you, family dinner is family dinner. Everybody sits and you eat. We have a family of God. In the family of God, we honor each other. Church is a gathering of family. What you do above that gathering shows how much you have understood that fellowship. You know there are things you won't do to your family. Our family is here. I will honor every single person here. I will honor their time. I honor them. Because what? We are. These are my brothers. These are my sisters. Now you can marry your sister and child. There is no problem. And actually, my example, the certain man of God teaches it this way. And the marriage said, he said, your spouse is first of all your brother and sister in Christ. Now, why is this important? This is important because sometimes people find it very easy to walk in love with church people that they are, the people they are married to. If your husband forgot flowers, don't come and talk about it. It's kind of manner. You can't remember flowers. But if another church member did something to you, you can walk in love. Why? Because they are your sister. So your husband is your brother in Christ. First. Yes. Yes. They are your brother in Christ first before they are your spouse. Your friend is also your brother in Christ. That is our spiritual identity. Amen. I don't know why I'm teaching this today. But this, we need to know this. We are family. Galatians 6, 10, I've read that. 1 John 3:1. Beloved, now are we. What man of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. We are sons of God. Now let's do some technical study. The white sand there is the Greek word technon. Technon is T-E-K-N-O-N. Technon. Not technon. Technon. Technon implies children. The seed of someone. Okay? So, in John, he's saying we are the seed of God. Do you know what that means? That means we come from God. Technon. Technon means we come from God. Now, what is used in Romans chapter 8, adoption of sons, is the word theos. Theos. Theos does not mean a mature son who gets the inheritance. Theos is used that such to imply the one who is an heir by virtue of what is such. Okay? Now, so in Theos, you have someone who has an inheritance. And who gets an inheritance? A son. But in Technon, we are talking about the offspring of God. You understand what I'm talking about? It's not that these ones are young sons and the other ones are old sons. Okay, I understand how this is. So, we are Technon and the heroes of God. We are from God and also we are heirs of God. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm a son of God. I'm an heir of God. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we may receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Again, you're saying what? The source. It is the Spirit that gives witness that our source is God. He doesn't say, ah, Abba, ah, Abba. The Spirit cries, ah, Abba, Abba. It's a witness of the Spirit that we are sons of God. What is it saying is that this Spirit is the DNA of God in us. What am I trying to say? In adoption, we have the DNA of God. We have the Spirit of God. We are born of God. We are Godies. We are what? Godies. Actually, I read it by Pastor Ronald. We are for God. We are Godies. Amen. That fellowship is based on the fact that the believer has life. That life is of God. Look at verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm an heir of God. I'm an heir of God. I have the inheritance of God. Amen. Let's prepare to wind up. 1 John 5 and 12. Are you learning something? 1 John 5 and 12. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son does not have life. So the life in the Son is the Spirit in us. That Spirit is the fellowship we have with God. Do you know what that means? That means the Spirit is what we have in common with God. So we go back to what we are saying. I have the Spirit of God. So do you see how it comes to play? Do you see how all these realities in that one? The Spirit of God in me is the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit of adoption is the witness I have in me that I'm a child of God. That witness I have in me, I'm a child of God, is also the proof of my redemption. It's also the proof of my resurrection. It's also the proof that I'm a son of God. That is also the proof. that I have an inheritance in God. So you are not an orphan. Say, I'm not an orphan. I'm not an orphan.
I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God.
To Peter,
come play for me. 2 Peter 1 and 3. According as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness by the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue.
Hallelujah.
We are children of God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctify and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. We are the brothers of Jesus. Jesus is our big brother, if you like that. Amen. We are children of God. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we. As he is, so am I. I'm a fellowship. I'm a child of God.